Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in, listener. You know, pain is one thing. Constant, unrelenting pain is quite another. A mind under that type of stress can suffer greatly, even to the point of turning away from God. But it's to God where we need to go when pain just won't leave us alone. Let's talk with Dr. Timothy Jennings about pain, doubt, and a God well acquainted with both. Dr. Jennings, a few months back, we received an email from a lady who knows pain all too well. In her letter, she expressed concern about where her pain was taking her. Here's what she said. She said, "For over 7 years, I've lived with moderate to severe chronic pain since my ankle was badly fractured when I landed on concrete from a 10-foot ladder fall." Ouch. She goes on and asks, "If chronic pain affects my brain and mind the same way as sin does," and we'll talk about that in a minute, "how does that complicated healing a sin-sick mind, and how do those brain changes affect my relationship with God?" These are very insightful questions. Let's begin with that first statement, Dr. Jennings. If chronic pain affects my brain and mind the same way sin does. Now, she's looked at a lot of your material. What is she talking about here?
Well, first, let's try to break down the impact that sin has on the mind, and then we can come back and see how there's a similarity, but still differences with chronic pain. The bottom line with sin is selfishness, selfish living. And when we live selfishly, and you can, the listening audience can think about these things across your life experience, we act selfishly. We take advantage of other people. When we go against our own value set and betray our own trusts, what happens is we actually experience more fear. We fire in our brain the amygdala, the fear circuits. And this, over time, if we continue down a path like this, this results in increasing inflammatory cascades as we activate the stress circuits of our brain and body, which will react over time in impairment of prefrontal cortex activity, where we reason, think, strategize, and so forth. That's a just very general, Eagles overview of the whole thing. Chronic pain states also activate the amygdala. If people are in chronic pain, and there's a reason for this. The amygdala is our startle. It's not only where we experience anxiety, worry, and fear, but it's the alarm circuit of the brain. If you're sitting there right now and something sharp stabs your leg or bites your leg, you're going to jump and startle. We are wired for that to come to alertness very quickly to avoid danger and injury and so forth. The problem with chronic pain is there's this constant pain signal coming to the brain, and the pain signal will activate the amygdala, causing a stress diathesis. And everybody knows the more intense the pain, the more stressed a person gets, the higher the blood pressure, the higher heart rate, because we're releasing all these stress hormones during chronic pain states. Well, this inflammatory this stress cascade results in activation of immune system, increasing inflammatory factors, and will also react back upon the brain, causing brain changes similar to the chronic selfish living, where we have thinning of prefrontal cortex and so forth. These are the similarities between the two. And so, having heard that in the lecture, I think the listener who emailed us drew a conclusion that somehow the damage to the brain from chronic pain is the same thing as living in sin, and it's not. They're distinctly different, even though there are some overlaps in the physiological cascade.
Before we leave this point, is guilt sort of like that kind of stressor? Is it a pain stressor, an emotional pain stressor to the mind?
Well, guilt will also do the same thing. When people are guilty, it activates the amygdala, causes the whole stress cascade, the inflammatory thing, and that can be whether it's appropriate guilt because you've actually done wrong, or people who live chronically with inappropriate guilt, feeling guilty when they've done nothing wrong, will still cause this destructive cascade and result in damage to prefrontal cortex, impaired healthy thinking, increasing risk of depression, and so forth.
Well, you've identified now that there is a difference in the sin pain and the chronic pain, I guess we'd say, that they both get the amygdala going. How does this woman who is having this amygdala fired all the time, how does this affect her relationship with God, and how should it reflect her relationship with God?
First, before we answer that question, let's identify what the difference is. And here's the big difference. When we choose an activity that is evil, that is selfish, that is immoral, that violates principles, that is unloving and unkind, that exploits another person, when we choose those types of activities, not only do we get the inflammatory cascade that I talked about, but we make changes in our character. We actually damage our conscience. This type of problem. We warp our reason. We will rationalize and make excuses. Now, when somebody has a chronic pain problem, they may have the inflammatory cascade, but if they're a kind person, they're still a kind person. If they're an honest person, they're still an honest person. If they're a loyal person, they're still a loyal person. Somebody who's engaging in sinful activity, however, if they're lying, they're developing the character of a liar. If they're stealing, they're developing the character of a thief. If they're cheating, they're developing the character of a cheat, and so forth and so on. And those lead to further consequences of covering up lying, which continues to warp the character. So a person in chronic pain can have a pure and holy character while they still suffer in pain. A good example, Job in the Old Testament, who had the sores over him and couldn't find one place to lay where he wasn't in pain, yet the Lord said he is perfect and righteous in all his ways. There's no one on the earth like him. So we don't want to confuse a chronic physical pain state with something that is spiritual that damages character. Conversely, when we understand the way God designed us and we engage in unhealthy activities, immoral activities, we not only damage character, we do also cause a physical change to the brain and body, which are unhealthy.
Mm. During those times, Dr. Jennings, that I personally have experienced chronic pain, you feel pretty far away from God, though. I can see where this lady's coming from. Pain is like a wedge between you and God. Is this something that we need to address?
Actually, pain is, I like what you said, pain is like a wedge between you. It's
like
not
a wedge,
actually
yes.
a wedge between you and God.
Right.
And
right.
in fact, when you're in a situation like this and you have a relationship with the Lord draws closer to you at times like this. What you're describing, Charles, is the reality that when we were in high intense pain, the various circuits of the brain that activate impair our ability to experience empathy, to experience a bonding, to experience a closeness. We do feel increasingly isolated, fearful, anxious, possibly abandoned, lonely. We feel these feelings, but those feelings aren't true. Think about most of the patients that I have that have had chronic pain states have loving family members that care for them, but they still feel disjointed or disconnected from those, even though the family members are often even more involved and more attentive during the pain state than they were before.
So we're actually dealing with something here, and this lady that wrote this letter to us is actually dealing with something that is not fundamentally solid. It's like air. It's a feeling.
Yes, that's true. We get this feeling, but the feeling then, as it says in James, can lead us into temptation. Now, sadly, even though the pain state is no one's fault and it's not sin, it can tempt us into a sinful course. This is why Satan was attacking Job the way he was, with not only emotional pain with his family and fortune lost, but with physical pain because he wanted to discourage him and he wanted to impair his sleep. And if we get impaired sleep, we become less, we become more irritable and more moody. He wants to discourage him in his attitude and his belief systems, wants to infect his mind with thoughts or beliefs that are untrue. God has abandoned me. God doesn't care about me anymore. I am no good. Why did this happen to me? I must be being punished for something that I've done. These ideas that now get into our head then can lead us down a path that can result in damage to our character if we choose to accept falsehoods and distortions and act on them rather than embracing the truth in the face of the pain.
You know, this lady that wrote this email, she certainly has done all she can for this. She mentioned surgeries and physical therapy, chiropractic treatments, acupuncture, laser therapy, massage therapy, hydrotherapy, anointing, and prayer. She has tried all of this stuff. If these things don't work, it seems like her only conclusion would be that, well, I have been abandoned. The medical profession has abandoned me. God has abandoned me. I am worthless, and I'm just going to be drifting here for the rest of my life. And that has got to set up a depression that we just goes on and on and on. And
I think you did a good job of articulating the distorted thinking that can sometimes happen, because what she described was not abandonment, but a whole bunch of people involved in her life through all those different treatments and therapies that she never had in her life before she got the injury, that are now in her life helping her and assisting her. So she's not abandoned. She's got extra involvement. And I would suggest, if you get this idea and this thought that you're being abandoned by God, then you have to ask the question, well, what is it that God has promised us? He's actually promised. I did not promise you have good times. Did he promise that? What he tells disciples?
No,
that there would be
trials
and tribulations is what he's promised. And so, but he promised that he would be with us through the trials and tribulations. So the idea that we've been abandoned because we're experiencing a difficult time is based on a false assumption that if you are on the Lord's side, that everything goes well and you have health and wellness. And if you're having sickness or financial problems, that means you're not on the Lord's side. This is a great distortion that the devil uses to discourage people. And again, the story of Job is there to help us understand the falsehood in that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can certainly see why she was worried and is worried about her connection with God through this chronic pain, because you've identified several avenues that the devil can use to drive that wedge between us and God that she's feeling. Now, let's talk about treatment here just for a minute, Dr. Jennings. Whenever I say the word medicine on the air or to people in person, they say, well, I don't want medicine. But it's sometimes necessary.
Well,
am I right?
Well, we have to back up before we start about treatment, because we haven't finished answering the question that she had about how this might affect her relationship with God.
Okay,
we talked about character development. We talked about the difference between having a chronic pain state and how pain changes your brain, but yet your character's not damaged by it, versus the act of choosing to participate in sinful activity, which changes who you are in heart and person. We made that distinction. And we've also talked about how the chronic pain state can discourage one, can tempt them with distorted thinking, the lies, and if we embrace those and act on those, that could then change our sense of who we are. But she asked the question, how does this affect my relationship with God? And it does have an impact. It can tempt us to have an obstructive relationship with God in several ways. One, the believing these ideas that Satan would love us to believe, and maybe we should pick this up after the break.
Absolutely. Let's do that. We are on a roll here. We're talking about chronic pain today, listener. And if you are suffering from that awful, awful condition, I recommend that you listen closely to what Dr. Jennings has to say. If you have a question that we're not covering just right for you, here's our number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In his book, The Heart of Health, now available on heartwiseministries.org, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "How often do you leave a doctor's office with a new prescription tucked neatly in your purse or wallet? For all the safeguards built into the pharmaceutical system imposed by our very own Food and Drug Administration, you'd think what you were about to drop down your throat or inject into your skin would be entirely safe. Think again. According to Mike Adams, a consumer health advocate, the entire drug industry has clearly become the single greatest threat to the health and safety of the American people, and yet the FDA continues to push more drugs into more Americans than ever before, all the while pretending these drugs are safe and effective when, in reality, they are neither. To learn more about health and healing from a biblical perspective, and to read a sample chapter from The Heart of Health by Dr. James Markham, visit heartwiseministries.org.
When we come to a new life with Jesus Christ, because of sin, we bring into the relationship a lot of baggage that we've collected throughout our life. This baggage is often heavy and unbearable. Have you ever come to a turnstile while carrying suitcases in both hands? Even though you might not need your hands to get through the turnstile, you definitely can't get through holding on to the luggage. Well, what do? You have to let go. This is wonderful news in the Christian life. It's not about living in the past. The crucifixion took care of that. We can walk forward without all that baggage. We just need to connect to Christ. Would you like to learn today how to let go of that baggage you're carrying around? Call Life Talk Radio and enroll in the free Discover Bible Study course. All 26 lessons are based on God's Word and will empower you to live the Christian life walking hand in hand with Jesus. Enroll today to begin that stroll with Christ. Call 800-775-HOPE. That's 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We are here with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings, and we're talking about what I call the long hurt, chronic pain. And we have a letter from a listener who fell from a ladder and has been suffering for a year and a half or so. Actually, was it 7 years ago? How long was that? 7 years. She's lived with chronic pain. That's a long time. And you've identified, Dr. Jennings, that this chronic pain can create feelings about our relationship with God that are not really something we need to trust. What other ways can it affect our relationship with God?
Right. One of the things is it can lead us to draw belief systems that discourage us and cause us to turn away from God. We can feel abandoned and we can believe that God doesn't care. I've prayed. I prayed for healing. He hasn't healed me. Why do I want to continue to pray for a God who doesn't care enough to heal me? These types of beliefs can then become a barrier in our relationship with God. But then the actual the pain itself, it's very hard to be altruistic or other-centered or participate in loving others when one is in such severe pain. Just imagine walking across the room of your home and you stub your little toe on the corner of a piece of furniture. Have you ever done that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And what's your immediate reaction? Don't you fall back into the sofa, the chair, and hold your foot, rocking back and forth till the pain subsides?
Yes.
Now, during
yes.
those moments of holding your foot, are you able to really help somebody else in the room?
No. You see? You want them to help you.
Right. You're focused totally on self. And see, pain has the tendency to make us self-focused. It draws us in on ourself, which is a normal reaction, but it makes it very hard to then participate in an altruistic universe. And so pain is in itself a barrier. It makes it hard. Additionally, the consequences to the brain that we talked about, the thinning of the prefrontal cortex, can make it harder to think clearly, harder to reason, harder to memorize. And oftentimes when people get on meds for pain, the meds for pain can slow down the thinking, slow down the reasoning. But here's the big rub. As I just mentioned, if the pain is too intense, you really can't think. You can't. People with chronic pain, no, you can't think, you can't function, you can't do anything if the pain is too intense. Conversely, if the pain medicines are too strong, you can't think, you can't function, you're under anesthesia, you're just sleeping all the time, you have no life. So in the treatment of chronic pain states, you have to find the treatment that maximizes function. One of the mistakes that people often make with a chronic pain condition as well is that they actually deny that they have a chronic pain state and they continue to believe they have an acute pain state. And what that means, acute means a something that's happening just recently. And so instead of actually learning to adapt and move towards highest levels of functioning despite one's pain, they continue to pursue interventions to take the pain completely away. Okay. And with this mindset, basically the mindset says, I can't get on with my life until I don't have pain anymore. And so all their energy is focused on pain remission rather than pain management. And one of the things with chronic pain states, we have to change the mindset so the person says, okay, alrighty, the opportunity to make the pain go away completely and be like I used to be is past. This injury, this event, this circumstance has changed me. I either adapt and manage the pain so that I can have the highest level of functioning, or I continue to pursue a treatment that is really not likely to be there, and I just continue to make my entire life about my pain and about my pain treatment, and that's what I live for.
You know, it would seem, Dr. Jennings, that if someone faces that, there's got to be a grief process involved.
Oh, there's no question. Yes, what they grieve is they grieve the loss of their life that they used to have. And the reason people often don't engage the reality of accepting they have a chronic pain state and moving on is because they don't like their life the way it is. They don't want to be this way. They want their old life back. And so unconsciously, they tell themselves, I can't go on until I don't have pain. I can't go on until I have something that will relieve me of this pain, until I can be like I used to be. And so they actually don't even move themselves mentally in a direction of recovering their vitality, their functioning, their embracing their roles and responsibilities in life because they have pain and they can't do anything until the pain is gone. This is a subtle deception of thinking that comes in chronic pain states. And when you have that, we have to address that and say, wait a minute, you know, the pain is going to be here. We can manage it. And we want to manage it to the point that you can, again, engage in life. Go to your kids' ball games and enjoy it. Go to church and fellowship. Go, you know, you may not be able to go out and play basketball anymore, but you can go and watch your son play basketball, these types of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, are we ready to move on then to other treatments here, Dr. Jennings?
Well, sure. We can, yeah.
I wanted to make sure that we cover this because there are some who are saying, oh, medications, medicine, psychotropic drugs. No. I don't want anything to do with those. They're evil. They're from the devil. I don't want them at all because they're going to cause me to live in an altered state and they would be sinful of me to do that. What do you say to people to say that?
Well, first off, it is a distorted way of thinking because is it not true that your chronic and intense pain condition has put you in an altered state of living?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, that's the reality. True. And the science will show that constant stress diathesis, the inflammatory factors, the stress hormones being elevated has negative and destructive reaction back upon your brain. The longer you stay in a chronic pain state, there's brain changes that come. So to say, I don't want to take medications because they're going to change my brain. Well, they will. And the studies show that with good treatment, they actually help reverse the damage and the brain tissue starts producing. The thinning areas start thickening up again. We can get improvement in brain function with the proper medication. So yes, they're going to change you, but they're going to change you for the better with proper treatment. I do understand that some medications can make one feel worse. And of course, those would not be medications you'd want to be on.
And I would assume also, Dr. Jennings, as you work with someone in this and you start introducing these medications, you would have to, you can't know what medications are going to work and not work. So there may be a time of adjustment as you try to find the right medicine.
Yeah, first I want to say that my specialty is psychiatry. I am not a chronic pain management specialist. There are specialists that have trained their entire residency to treat chronic pain states. Now, their focus in much of the residency happens to be on the physiological aspects of chronic pain. My focus happens to be on the mind aspects of chronic pain. And so oftentimes in the best treatments for chronic pain are when a pain management doctor and a psychiatrist collaborate together so that the pain management physician is treating the physiological causes and providing physiological interventions for pain, while I, as the psychiatrist are providing a mental interventions and psychiatric interventions for chronic pain. Because we know in the brain where we experience emotional pain and we experience physical pain are tightly related. And when a person's under significant emotional pain, they will often feel physical pain. And when people have gone through a situation that has contributed to a physical pain state, there will always be emotional pain associated with that. A loss of self-image, loss of self-worth, loss of feeling emasculated, feeling like a burden to your family, feeling depressed because of finances and healthcare costs going up and not able to work anymore and loss of productivity and loss of sense of self. So there's huge psychological pain that will markedly magnify the physical pain, and that has to be addressed as well. So when we talk about treatment, we want to treat the physical pain with physical interventions, but we also want to bring in good mental health interventions to help bring the mind to peace so the person can have peace with themselves in face of their pain state.
How does a person deal with the why me problem? Why me, Lord? Why me, world? Why not the bad people? Why not other people? Why me? Why was I selected to be this person that has to carry this kind of pain burden?
Well, the way you deal with the why me question is with the truth. Why are you the one in this pain? Because you were the one that got in the accident and had your pelvis and femurs broken. That's why. Why did you get in the accident? Because you were driving on the day there was a snowstorm or because some drunk driver ran the road and it was your car they hit, not the car behind you. I mean, the basic true facts are you're in pain because something happened to cause the pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the question that you're asking is one of that's more existential question. Why in the universe of things, and you said, was I selected to be the one to have the
pain.
That is a belief that some people hold. They believe that God oversees the universe and he selects some people for happiness and he selects some people for pain and misery. And if you hold that belief, that will worsen your mental, physical, spiritual, relational pain in every way because it's a lie. Lies are always destructive. God doesn't select people for pain. That's ridiculous. And I know people who believe that, but that will only be discouraging. Imagine if that were actually true. What kind of universe would we live in?
My,
it would be sadistic.
My.
It would be horrible. It wouldn't be worth living in if we have a God that actually selects people for pain. So no, so how do you deal with that? If somebody has that belief, we have to disabuse them. I don't treat them as directly as I'm speaking to our audience right now. I'll say, well, where did you come up with the idea that you were selected for pain? How did you come to think that? And then you can process through the way that thought formed in their mind, and you can help them see the truth and break that down and replace that unhealthy thought with a truer thought. No, you weren't selected for pain at all. And so that's part of the process of helping people deal with their pain as well. So we have the physical intervention part, we have the psychiatric intervention part, and they are equally important. And some might even argue that what's happening in the mind is more important than what's happening in the body.
Mm. I begin to feel this. After talking with you for all these years, Dr. Jennings, on this program, I'm beginning to realize that while there are certainly physical ailments and physical problems that we face in this world, that a lot of what we face physical is brought about by emotional or psychiatric interventions, as you're talking about here. And I want to talk about that in the remainder of the program. I want to open our phone lines for our listeners. Listener, if you have chronic pain, if you are dealing with this in your life, or know someone who is, I invite you to call right now, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673, and ask your question. I love asking questions, but I may not ask your question the way you want it asked. Here's your chance to talk to Dr. Jennings about this chronic pain. This is big in this world of pain, this world of hurt. 800-775-4673. I think what people need most, Dr. Jennings, in states of chronic pain is some kind of hope that there is something beyond. And I'm hearing you saying that they may be looking for the wrong things. They're looking for a return to normalcy, which may never happen.
Yeah, I want to give some more information about this along this line of the chronic pain situation and along the line of hope and the relationship between mind and body. When people experience psychological stress and emotional stress and they have a pain state, their pain state will get worse. Even though they have a real physical pain state because they've had an injury, a broken leg, a car accident, whatever, when they are now under stress, let's say their spouse and they are fighting, okay, back and forth fighting, those arguments and stress within the marriage are going to markedly increase. In other words, they're going to experience more pain when they're stressed, more physical pain. This is very clear. Why? Because one, you're activating the inflammatory cascade. The inflammatory cascade causes a release of what are called inflammatory cytokines. Inflammatory cytokines cause the central perception of pain. So you've already got now this pain cascade set up from your chronic pain state. And now when you're under psychological stress, you actually release inflammatory factors. It would be like having a sunburn and somebody slapping you on your sunburn. Okay.
Oh,
the slap only makes the pain worse. So this kind of chronic physical, psychological stress will make physical pain worse.
My. We have a lot to talk about on this. Listener, I hope you're taking notes here. I know I am. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. When we come back, more with Dr. Jennings about the long hurt, chronic pain. Stay put.
Hello, this is Dr. John Morris. You know, even though I've been a believer for quite some time, I am still amazed at how God uses each one of us to further His kingdom. I remember the events that led to my full commitment to the Lord. There was a lot of faulty education that stood in the way, but God in His grace broke down those barriers. How about you? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is He your Lord? God created you and He died for you. And if you're sensing He's drawing you closer to Him, ask Him for the salvation and healing for which you long. There isn't a day that goes by that I regret my salvation, and I consider myself truly blessed to be a part of the life-changing work God called me to do through Back to Genesis and Science, Scripture, and Salvation and the Institute for Creation Research. If you'd like to experience the same peace that I've come to know, call me or contact this station. There's someone waiting to pray with you and introduce you to the Savior and welcome you into eternal life.
It's funny, I never used to think about my vision. But one day everything started to look a little blurry, right in the center of my eye. Then I really got worried when the newspaper prints started to look wavy. The doctor told me I have a disease called macular degeneration, and that I could lose all of my central vision. I was very upset to think about giving up driving and reading, or that one day I might not be able to see the faces of my grandchildren. Luckily, I discovered the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They sent me a wonderful information packet, and they told me about a great new clinical trial right in my area, testing a promising new treatment that could halt my vision loss. To find out more about this and other treatments for macular degeneration, and to receive your free information packet, call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-216-2002. That's 800-216-2002.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
And welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings is here. We're talking about pain today, chronic pain in particular. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. Let's head out to New Mexico and talk to Lyle. Hi, Lyle. What's on your heart today?
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my question here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling about my mother. She has pancreatitis, and she has chronic pain all the time. And what I'm wondering is, what can her family do to actually support her in her pain? Because I know I got a surgery done on my nose, and I had so much pain, I didn't want to listen to anybody. And I'm wondering what we can do to get through to her, you know?
Lyle, that is such a great question. It really is, because so many of my patients, the families, are asking the exact same question. There's interesting research done at a chronic pain clinic in 2003, and it was published in the Clinical Journal of Pain in 2003. And what they looked at, they looked at 114 females and 213 male chronic pain patients, and they looked at the involvement of family members in their care. And what they found was that those who had highly attentive spouses, those male patients who had highly attentive wives, reported much higher levels of pain and more disability than those who had less attentive wives. But despite their complaints and their reports that they were doing much worse, when they actually put them through objective tests of how well they could function, their strength and these types of things, they tested very well. The women in the study, who had highly attentive and involved husbands, reported that they did not feel more pain and did not have more disability, but they performed significantly worse on tests of function. They didn't function well. And so the study authors found that overly involved and very attentive family members trying to assist and help their family members in chronic pain states worsen the outcome of the chronic pain.
Wow.
Yes. And so and you can think of the reasons for that. If you had pain, and so it has to be a very fine balance. We all obviously want to encourage. We want to support. But we don't, and here's the line that I tell my patients to draw. Don't do anything for a person in chronic pain that they are still capable of doing for themselves.
Okay.
We assist them with the things they legitimately can't do for themselves. Does that make sense for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then you want to encourage them.
You let them do what they can, but just help them with stuff that they can't do.
Yes,
so,
exactly. And, okay. And has your mother seen a counselor? Because everybody with chronic pain will have a real psychological process to go through. They don't like themselves anymore. They don't like their life. They don't like who they are. They don't like the day-to-day things anymore. They feel often like a burden to their family. They will feel guilty. So they have a lot of psychological baggage that if they can work through will significantly reduce their experience of physical pain. So that is something important to work through as well.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Lyle. Thank you very much,
okay.
Lyle. Bye-bye. That's surprising. You know, from a caregiver standpoint, you think that you're doing a loving gesture when you just step in and take over for this person that you love so much, and you just see this person in pain and it breaks your heart. But you're actually, according to this study, standing in the way of this person getting on with their life with the pain. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. But let me give a big caveat to everybody listening. Make the distinction between chronic pain and acute pain. This is not somebody who's just broken their leg and they've come home from the hospital in a cast. We want to assist somebody with an acute pain situation. They can't do some things for themselves. So involvement and attentiveness to somebody who's had an acute situation and an acute pain, post-operative surgical pain, so forth like that, this type of assistance we want to be very involved with. We're talking about somebody who has a chronic ongoing pain condition that really has no expectation for significant improvement. It's time for that person to begin re-engaging life experiences and moving themselves to the highest levels of function that they're capable of doing within the objective limitations of their condition.
And realizing in their mind that they can, that this is a new normal. They can't go back to the way it was, but they can make a new normal. Is that right?
This is exactly right. And this isn't, if you love the person that you're involved with, this is important for them, because our sense of well-being, our sense of being able to contribute to family and in society is caught up in our ability to engage life. And if we do something for another person constantly, it only fosters the sense of helplessness in that person. It fosters their sense of inadequacy. It fosters their sense of uselessness. But to require a person to live up to and fulfill the obligations of life that they're capable of doing allows them to recover, at least in some sense, a sense of usefulness, a sense of productivity, a sense of autonomy, which goes directly to their sense of well-being and will ultimately reduce their sense of stress and experience of pain.
I think that the most fundamental lesson that I've learned so far in this conversation with you, Dr. Jennings, is that the new normal concept, that the pain's not going to go away, but we need to learn to manage that pain as opposed to remove that pain. That's an important lesson for us to learn. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. Once again, that number, 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, we've talked about some of the treatment plans. We're working over here in the area of using some drugs to get us through these things if necessary, and learning that in our altered state, maybe altered drugs is what we need to keep us going.
Let's use the word medications.
Medications. Okay, I like that better. Medications. Here we go. Before we go any further, let's get another call from Georgia this time, and we have Becky on the line. Hi, Becky. What's on your heart today?
Hi. I haven't listened to the whole program, so you may have announced this previously, but I have a family friend who is suffering from chronic pain and depression and wanted to know if you had any resources or where I could go for online material on this subject.
That's a great question, and I actually didn't come to the show today with some web resources for you on that subject matter. I would just have to say go to the search engine and put in chronic pain and search, because I actually haven't actually found a site that I was planning to recommend today.
Okay. You know, I will have to say this, Becky. I would invite you to go to the commonreason.com website, because Dr. Jennings has outlined that we talk about dealing with it physically, we talk about dealing with it emotionally, and how we deal with it emotionally is very beautifully covered, how we deal with life emotionally, at the commonreason.com website. So you can add that to your search at commonreason.com.
Great. Thank you. Also, can you tell me a little more about the study you had just discussed with the gentleman from New Mexico, the 2003 study or
composite? Yes, it was 2003, published in the Clinical Journal of Pain in September 2003. The lead author, I believe, was, I think it was either Philman or Dubois, one of the two. And, okay. And so the study was on chronic pain patients, over 114 females, 213 males, and they put them through pain assessments and questionnaires assessing the involvement of their spouses and how they responded to their intensity of pain and their overall functional level. And in both sides of it, the men reported doing worse if they had a very attentive spouse, but they actually functioned okay. The women reported doing fine if they had an over-attended spouse, but they functioned poorly in their testing.
Okay.
So both did worse if they had overly attentive spouses.
Very interesting. Okay. Well,
very.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Becky. Bye-bye. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, I've seen pictures of people in chronic pain going to these places, and they put needles in the skin, and they look like little porcupines with needles all around. Acupuncture, is this a good idea? Does this work?
Well, it's a good question. There was an article published in Science News May 12, 2009, and their article was taken from the Archives of Internal Medicine study that was done in May of 2009. So Archives of Internal Medicine, May 2009, and they looked at people who had chronic back pain. And they put them in a couple different groups, and they evaluated their pain relief in what is called a sham form of acupuncture, where they used toothpicks that did not penetrate the skin. So it just made a little pressure where the patient couldn't tell whether it went through the skin or not. It just kind of put pressure into certain points, and then compared that to actual needle acupuncture for relieving pain. And the researchers found that they could tell no difference between the sham acupuncture and the the actual acupuncture in its ability to relieve pain, but both procedures seem to do a little bit better than traditional medicines for relieving pain. Now, why would that be the case? Sham acupuncture, acupuncture, no difference between the two, but both relieve pain better than medications. Why? Because pain is experienced in the mind. In other words, you have to have a functioning brain in order to experience pain. You don't experience pain in your finger or your toe. What you experience in your finger, toe, leg, joint is you experience noxious stimulation, unhealthy stimuli. But that stimuli has to be transmitted through the nervous system to your brain before you experience pain. That's why we all have heard of things like spinal blocks. Anybody ever had a lumbar, when they give women who are pregnant, they give them spinal anesthesia? Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. What does that do? It's blocking the pain signal from traveling to the brain, so the persons don't. Or if anybody's ever had local anesthetic, where they will numb up your finger while they do a little local surgery, and while they're doing it, or even a dental surgery where they numb your mouth, and your mouth feels all big and thick, and then when they're working on you, don't feel anything. Why? Because the nerves that transmit the signal to the brain no longer transmit the signal, so you don't feel pain. You don't feel pain peripherally. You feel it in the brain. Well, what's happening with these treatments are the persons are getting a treatment that in their mind they believe is helpful to them, and the studies show that if you were given a pain pill, but in actuality you're given a sugar pill, but you think it's a pain pill, your brain will release what's called endorphins and enkephalins and dopamine, and these are brain mood elevators and brain opiates. The things that your brain makes to stimulate the opiate receptors to relieve pain. You get actual pain relief from this. But if you know it's a sham treatment and you know it's a sugar pill, your brain won't release these things. So changing our beliefs and changing what we think, improving our mental function, has a significant reduction in our experience of pain. That's why people in high relationship stress, constant conflict, worriers, people who don't have a healthy spirituality, people that are guilt-ridden, people that feel inadequate, people who don't like themselves, all this negative emotional garbage will markedly worsen pain. And as you resolve that, pain always gets better.
Oh, my, my. There are lights going on in minds across the country right now, Dr. Jennings, for what you're saying, that there is actually hope. I'm saying the word hope here because I really believe that what you just said is going to make some people realize that what they're experiencing right now can be managed. Now, not removed. We understand that now, but not removed, but managed. And that is good, good news. Phone lines are open for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. So I say we have just the 6 seconds before the break here. So let's take a medication that blocks the pain centers of the brain and the problem fixed, right?
Well, I want to say something else because I didn't. There's one thought I left out on this whole improving the mind aspect, and that is as you have a healthier mind and you're more relaxed internally, you have a greater sense of peace inside, you have less pain. Yeah. Multiple studies have shown that music that has a relaxing effect reduces pain. Music that you can meditate to and help unwind and reduce stress, a relaxing, calming music, also significantly reduces pain. Not all music reduces pain. Music that is more modern with lots of upbeat that gets you kind of riled and roused up, that doesn't reduce pain. It's a relaxing, calming music reduces pain.
Well, then when we come back, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Jennings, a very obvious question. If you are 17 years old, what kind of music can you possibly listen to help you? Because all that other stuff is going to put you to sleep. Maybe that's a good thing. More when we come back. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs. But Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Well, the question Charles asked before we went to the break was, what about young people? What kind of music can we give young people that can help them relax? Because the studies show that relaxing music helps reduce the pain. Music that actually stirs you up, that gets you excited, that doesn't actually help reduce pain. And the answer is, well, it is only music that results in relaxation, calming effect. And he said, well, how will kids like that? And I would say, well, if they have a chronic pain state, and after listening to the music for a little while, their pain starts to be relieved. Don't you think they will like that?
I think you may be right. What about television watching? Are there programs you can watch on television that can ease pain, or does that not help at all?
I haven't seen any studies related to television watching and pain, but understanding the physiologic effect of television watching, if it's theatrical television, I would expect it would actually have the benefit. Theatrical television that engages you to the point of distractibility and keeps you engaged during the program will distract your mind so you're not focused on your pain. But over the long term, that television theatrical watching activates amygdala and may actually cause you more stress and activate the stress pathway so you have more chronic pain even though you have less during the show. Programming that is engaging but more of a say of a nature type programming and it keeps your attention might actually have a better long-term effect than theatrical programming.
All right. Very good. You know, Dr. Jennings, let's talk about Christ's relationship with pain. Does he offer any guidance for us from his holy word that can help us in our pain struggles?
Well, your question kind of threw me because I thought you were going to ask about his journey and his experience on earth and the pain that he went through.
Well, he certainly had it all. I mean, he had it all. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was well acquainted with this. How did
no,
he get
actually,
through
No, Charles. He was acquainted with acute pain. We don't have evidence that he had chronic pain going on for years and years. But he did have intense acute pain that was beyond any, which was both mental and physical. That's true. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures tell us that we are not to be discouraged, that our physical body that we have now gets replaced when the Lord comes. So this isn't the end. This mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption. And so we can be encouraged to know that there's a time coming we will have 100% relief of all limitations, physical disabilities, and pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to leave any stone unturned here, Dr. Jennings. We just have 5 minutes left on this program. Could you pick up any loose ends and help us see what we can do with the chronic pain that we're suffering from?
Well, I wanted to be sure we answered all the questions from our email. Did we cover all those questions, Charles?
Let me see here. She talked about several of the psychotropic medications. Maybe we should just touch on that just for a moment longer. I asked the question before the break. Why don't we just take a medication that blocks our brain from receiving pain signals and just live that way? What's wrong with that?
If you can find medicines that do that or treatments that do that, it's often very helpful. They have various treatments that are designed to try to do that. For instance, people with chronic back pain will sometimes undergo a surgical procedure where they put in an electrical stimulator into the low back, which is called a spinal stimulator, which is designed to block the pain signals from ever getting to the brain. For those persons for which this treatment works, it's quite profound because they really have good relief of pain. TENS units, if you heard of TENS units, these are epidermal, these are little patches, little stickies they put on your skin that send an electrical impulse through the skin that are designed to block the pain signals from getting to your brain. Some of the medications that are available out there, some of the antidepressant medications, for instance, the way they work on chronic pain is that they actually do diminish the pain signals making it to the brain. They suppress the network of pain fibers that are coming from the body up the spinal cord into the brain. They suppress the firing of those particular neurons, so they do reduce pain coming into the brain, and this is how they assist. So yes, we look for those interventions, we take those, and I routinely would put patients on those types of medicines to help reduce their chronic pain. But you also need to change their mindset, because pain, again, happens in the mind, and anticipation and perception and psychological stress are significant magnifiers of pain.
All right. Here is the take-home question I think this lady was asking in her email. She says, how does chronic pain magnify, exacerbate, complicate the whole sin-sick mind problem? She says, I don't believe I could be lost only because chronic pain flooded my brain with toxic stress hormones, but could you somehow explain the difference and how to sort this all out? How does God save and heal a person whose mind is constantly being damaged like this?
God is working to save our souls, i.e. characters or individualities, and one day provide us new physical temples for which we will dwell. In other words, new bodies. The primary salvation plan on earth right now is not currently on earth at this moment providing us with new physical bodies. If you had no chronic pain state but you continued to live, your body would slowly deteriorate as we age, and all of us as we age recognize those deteriorating changes. We are looking forward to the day when Christ returns and we have a new body. So what God is doing for us now, despite your physical limitations, whether you have cancer, whether you have a chronic pain state, whether you've had an amputation or you're blind or you have other physical problems, all of our bodies are defective in one way or another. God isn't working on earth right now to heal all of our bodies. What he is working to do is heal our characters, our hearts, so that we become people who love him and love others more than self. And in that relationship with him, one day we get a new body. Your chronic pain state does not prevent you from experiencing God's grace in your mind, heart, and character so that you become more like him every day, despite the fact you're living in a body that is weak.
Oh, my. And her final statement in this email just underlines that, Dr. Jennings. She says, the Holy Spirit is helping me make more connections and filling out more of the puzzle pieces, and God's love is more and more apparent and real. This is still coming through, even in her state of chronic pain. Wonderful message today, Dr. Jennings. We really appreciate that. I want to remind our listeners, those of you who are in chronic pain emotionally or physically, there is a website where you find help and guidance and begin your journey toward the healing and for the management. That's the word, management, that you're looking for. And that website, of course, is www.comeandreason.com. www.drjenningsmedical.com. I've discovered, Dr. Jennings, that by looking through your website and reading your blogs and looking your program archives and the other resources available, that I feel better about myself. I feel better about my condition. From a personal standpoint, it has helped bring healing to many areas of my life. And listener, I think it can yours too, even those suffering from chronic pain. Once again, that website is comeandreason.com. And this has been an amazing program. It will be available for downloading and listening to in a couple of weeks right there at that website, comeandreason.com. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much. Any final words for us today?
No, I think we've answered the questions.
We've done it. We've done it. All right. We're feeling good about this. Listener, if you have any questions that you would like to have addressed on this program, you can also go to comeandreason.com and email Dr. Jennings like this lady did and shared with her her journey, shared with us her journey. We invite you to do that. That's comeandreason.com. If you are on Facebook, and who isn't these days, check out Come and Reason, become a fan, and get messages and information directly from Dr. Jennings there.
Good stuff. And check my Bible paraphrase there.
I love the Bible. I want to say that, the Bible paraphrase. This man is going through the Bible, finding wonderful texts, and sharing a new way of looking at God, a true way. I don't know how to explain it. Just read it on comeandreason.com and on Facebook. The Bible stuff is on Facebook. Okay, until next week, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Okay, you're clear?
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.